The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Come on. On NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network is what he was saying. A little technical glitch there, as happens every once in a while here at the Nicole Sandler Show. It's just par for the course. Anyway, welcome to a Wednesday. Today, the president is, I guess by now he is in Las Vegas. I don't know what he plans to do there because, you know, he won't talk about guns. When the president took to the television yesterday, the morning after the tragic, it just doesn't say enough, the horrific shooting in Las Vegas on Sunday night, he talked a lot about God and scripture and love and evil, but not about guns. And just so you know, the guy who did all the shooting could not have done it without a gun. And yet here we are once again at a time when Republicans and those who lean to the right are vilifying those of us who say, if we don't talk about it now, when are we going to talk about it? It being our propensity for guns here in this country. Today on the show, Cliff Schechter is going to join us. Cliff Schechter, an old friend who sadly seems to join me every time there's a mass shooting, just because Cliff has done such great work at working with a lot of gun control groups, trying to help get legislation passed, trying to, get the word out about what these groups do on our behalf. After all, the goal is to keep us alive, to keep us safe from the random bullet that gets shot across, Las Vegas street into a crowd of concert goers, or you name it, in a movie theater, in a schoolroom, in a church. The list is too lengthy to go on. You know, back in 2013, in fact, it was September 18th, 2013, I wrote an article for my blog suggesting that other nations around the country issue travel advisories because traveling to the United States is just not safe. It's not safe. And so I wrote it on September 18th, 2013. I interviewed, and chances are you've heard it because I've played it back a number of times, the former Australian Deputy Prime Minister who helped enact gun laws in Australia following their Port Arthur massacre, their biggest massacre in history, and helped change those gun laws there to the point where they have not had another mass shooting since. So it can be done. So I interviewed him after hearing him on a TV interview where he said, you know, he thinks that it's not safe to travel to the United States because of all these random killings. So I've published this blog post a few times. And today I was just wondering if there were any countries that have taken me up on it. And sure enough, a simple Google search turned up an article from October. It says this is today's paper. This is interesting. It was originally published here. Here we go. August 12th, 2016. And the headline reads, "Why Not to Visit America? Travel warnings from foreign countries list Zika, racism, gun violence, police shootings as reasons to stay away from USA." And in the bullet points below, it says French and German governments have warned about gun violence. Look, I still say this is the way to get our government to act, you got to hit us in the pocketbook. If other nations, France and Germany would be a perfect start, would issue formal travel advisories saying that travel to the United States is not safe. Because if you go to the United States, you're so many percentage points more likely to be gunned down just walking down the street of, you know, any town USA than you would be here in our country. Let's see. Mass killings, police-involved shootings, and the emergence of the Zika virus have led a number of countries to issue warnings about the dangers of going on holiday in the U.S. Governments of the U.K., Australia, France, Germany, and neighboring Canada are among those cautioning travelers for varying reasons. Other advisories warn of xenophobia. Look at that. Without referencing then-presidential candidate Donald Trump's call for a temporary ban on Muslim visitors. And homophobia, potentially putting off some tourists from visiting the country. But here, the French and German governments have warned their citizens about gun violence in the U.S., where recent mass shootings include a massacre at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, left 49 people dead. Well, that was a little over a year ago. Now, our newest one is where concertgoers at a country music festival in Los Angeles, 59 of them are dead and over 527 injured from a crazy man with a gun. Now, I know you're saying, wait, did they find something that said the shooter was crazy? Anybody who shoots out the window 32 stories up of a hotel into a crowd of 22,000 concertgoers is indeed crazy. There is something wrong with him. Anybody who gathers that many guns together, yes, there's something mentally wrong with them. But this is a country, remember, that where the Republicans wanted to cut millions of dollars from mental health care, you know. So for all their excuses that it's a mental health reason, it gets worse. And of course, now's not the time to talk about it, right?
There's a time and place for a political debate, but now is the time to unite as a country. I think that we can have those policy conversations, but today is not that day.
Huh. Where have I heard that before?
Gee, I wonder.
The whole gun control thing, this is not the time and the place to be having that conversation.
I don't want to do this gun control discussion right now. There's a day, place, and a time for all that.
Let's wait and have that conversation later.
I'm more than happy to talk about this in a few days. Right now is not the time.
This is not the time to have the discussion.
This is not the time for this. It's just not the time to dive into the politics and try to score political points on this topic.
They always say that a gun tragedy is never the right time to talk about stopping the next gun tragedy. It's like your alcoholic uncle wrapping his car around a tree and getting out saying, "Today's not the day to talk about my drinking, okay? I'm still drunk right now. Here's to the tree." What were we talking about? Who wants to go for a drive?
Right. It's now let me say, it is mostly, like 99% of the time, the Republicans who say that. That little montage was all filled with Republicans. Of course, Joe Manchin is joining in with them, but he's half Republican anyway. I never thought I'd say this, but for a few words of wisdom on the subject, believe it or not, here's Chuck Todd.
In the wake of Las Vegas tonight, I'm obsessed with timing. We hear it after every incident like this, and we've heard it again today. Now is not the time to talk about how to deal with gun violence. Now is not the time. Think about that. Why is now not the time? When planes flew into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, did we say now is not the time to talk about terrorism or homeland security? When our banking system nearly collapsed in 2008, did we say now is not the time to talk about financial regulation? When we learned that some 140 million people's records had been breached at Equifax, did we say now is not the time to talk about cybersecurity? When we learned about Russian meddling and fake news and cyber bots, did we say now is not the time to talk about regulating Twitter and Facebook? When North Korea launched longer-range missiles and claimed to have exploded a hydrogen bomb, did we say now is not the time to talk about nuclear proliferation? The point is, this is exactly the time to start talking about any issue, gun violence included. If we wait until cooler heads prevail on any of these, we never talk about it. And in fact, if we applied the same logic to every other debate and every other crisis that this country faces that we do to the gun debate, we never would have focused on any of those issues either.
Huh.
Then again, maybe that is the point.
Maybe that is the point. Who knew? Chuck Todd. once in a while, I guess he gets it right. All right, let's check in with the latest news. We got What's News. We got the Talk Media News Service. And then Cliff Schechter joins us today to talk more about guns.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The president visited Puerto Rico on Tuesday, touring a small slice of Hurricane Maria's devastation. He seemed to be in congratulatory mode, heaping praise on his administration and the federal response in general. At a meeting at the airbase, he introduced cabinet members and congratulated the island for escaping the higher death toll of a, quote, real catastrophe like Katrina.
Every death is a horror, but if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering, nobody's ever seen anything like this. And what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place in Puerto Rico.
Later Tuesday, Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossello announced the death toll had risen to 34. Local officials note that with many still struggling to find food and water and with only 5% of the electricity restored, that number is likely to rise in the coming weeks. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz joined other officials at the airbase for the briefing with Trump. She described her brief meeting with him on MSNBC.
Well, I said to him, it's about saving lives. It's not about politics, and he didn't respond. But this was a PR 17-minute meeting. There was no exchange with anybody, with none of the mayors. And in fact, this terrible and abominable view of him throwing paper towels and throwing provisions at people, it does not embody the spirit of the American nation, you know. He was insulting to the people of Puerto Rico. He said something like, Puerto Rico, you really have taken our budget out of whack because of all the money we've thrown here. He kind of minimized our suffering here by saying that Katrina was a real disaster, sort of implying that this was not a real disaster because not many people have died here. Well, you know what? They're dying. They don't have the medical resources. They can't get to their dialysis. Their oxygen tanks are starting not to work because they don't have generators. So hospitals are just collapsing because of the generator situation. The diesel doesn't get to where it's supposed to get. A lot of people are being caged, especially the elderly. And the pictures are there. The news have been a witness to everything that we are saying. Mayors now are starting to talk a lot more about what they are encountering. So he really has a communication issue.
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of like a miscommunicator in chief.
Yeah.
But his staff, yeah, on the other hand, seemed to want to approach this a different way.
Trump told Geraldo Rivera that he'd be wiping out Puerto Rico's debt.
To what extent do you commit to help rebuild this battered place?
Well, we're going to work something out. We have to look at their whole debt structure. You know, they owe a lot of money to your friends on Wall Street, and we're going to have to wipe that out. That's going to have to be, you know, you can say goodbye to that. I don't know if it's Goldman Sachs, but whoever it is, you can wave goodbye to that. We have to do something about, because the debt was massive on the island.
We'll see. Trump on Wednesday is traveling to Las Vegas, the site of the deadliest mass shooting in American history, though the White House says it's not time for any discussion of gun policy.
Look, we have a tragedy. We'll be talking about gun laws as time goes by. We'll talk about that later.
Do you believe that, or does the president believe that this is a moment, that this is a time when this should not be a political discussion? It should be a policy discussion. Does he believe that he could bring something new to the gun debate that has been, you know, I guess, a locked in typical politics for so many years?
Yeah, I think today is more, again, like I said, a day of reflection, a day of mourning, a day of gratefulness for those that were saved. And I think that there will be certainly time for that policy discussion to take place. But that's not the place that we're in at this moment. But certainly I think that there's a time for that to take to happen.
The White House issued talking points saying just that, and congressional Republicans seem to have gotten the message.
I think it's premature to be discussing legislative solutions, if there are any.
And we can have that discussion at another time, but it's a typical political tactic by some on the left.
A motive is yet to be determined, and it would be premature for us to discuss policy when we don't fully know all the facts or what took place.
That dialogue does need to occur, but I don't think now is the time for this.
Anyone talks about anything political today should, really, in all honesty, should rethink while we're here.
The Democrats are ready to talk about it. On Tuesday, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut introduced new background check legislation, and Dianne Feinstein authored a bill that would ban the bump stocks that the shooter used to convert his semi-automatic weapons into fully automatic guns. House Democrats are planning to gather on the Capitol steps Wednesday in a solemn protest against Republican inaction on gun control. I got good news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution, as we are 100% listener supported. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. All right, and let's continue with the day's news. We turn to our friends at the Talk Media News Service at TalkMediaNews.com, and Ellen Ratner's on the line today. Hello, Ellen.
Well, hi, how are you? Okay, listen, I think this is really interesting. And the fact is that it is time to talk about gun control. And Dianne Feinstein, if you don't remember, which I do and some of your listeners may or may not, was actually promoted to where she was at because she was a county supervisor in San Francisco when Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of personal feelings about this. Now, it's interesting, Representative Scalise said that after his shooting, he's even more in favor of the Second Amendment. I don't
really
know what that's about. I think that's a little crazy, but hey, who am I?
You and me both.
Okay, there's some other interesting news, and that is Heather Nauert, who used to be at Fox, who's now the State Department spokesperson, said that there is no way that the president was called a moron by the Secretary Tillerson, that he wouldn't use that language. And then President Trump, just a few minutes ago, called it fake news.
Yeah, but when Tillerson was asked, he wouldn't deny it. He didn't deny saying it.
That's absolutely correct. And I think that, look, and they had a couple reported people saying that. So, you know, what can you do? What can you say?
I don't
know.
Right. And now, I guess, after Tillerson's little impromptu press conference this morning, or was it this afternoon, the White House is now saying that that they have confidence in Tillerson. So I guess Tillerson bought himself a little more time, huh?
Well, the other thing is that Sarah Huckabee Sanders said on Air Force One that if the president doesn't have confidence in somebody, they're gone.
Right. Okay.
So I guess he's there for a while.
We'll see.
Right. Okay. There is, believe it or not, other things in the world happening. Hard to believe, but the president, as you know, was yesterday in Puerto Rico. He met on a boat with the governor of the Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, and the governor of Puerto Rico. They clearly were very complimentary because they want money. They're not stupid. And and that's what happened on that front. Yahoo apparently had 3 billion, that's with a B, accounts hacked. They said they did not get their Social Security information or banking information. I frankly don't believe that. The Equifax former CEO has just begun his testimony before a Senate committee. Also, Hollywood Trade Group said the Chinese are not being honest about movie attendance. They said that they are putting things up to drinks and popcorn and things like that, and they are losing $40 million, that's with an M, dollars a year, because the Chinese are not being honest about movie attendance.
Okay.
Also, it looks as if there are at least two of the airlines, Southwest is and Allegiant Air, are offering free flights for up to 5 family members to go to Las Vegas. They're
really?
Also offering free transportation for people's bodies who have been killed in Las Vegas. And we might have another hurricane. Nate is this one's name, and it will make landfall either on Sunday, either as a tropical storm or as a hurricane. We do not know yet. Hillary Clinton is going to be on the Tonight Show tonight. Former President Obama is having a roundtable with young people in Brazil tomorrow. They're going to take people from all over Brazil talking about what will affect their communities.
Wow, in Brazil, huh? Okay.
Yes. Now, it's very interesting. The killer, Paddock, who absolutely was killed, as you know, his girlfriend arrived yesterday from the Philippines but did not go to Las Vegas. She's gone to L.A., where they let her rest for the overnight before they questioned her. She's being questioned today, according to her attorney. And a former FBI profiler, Jim Clemente, said that there was some sort of major trigger in his life, a great loss, a breakup, or maybe he just found that he has a terminal disease. He said that the psychological autopsy might be necessary to establish motive, but he said that if the suicide that he had, because remember he put a gun into his mouth, did not destroy his brain, that experts may find a neurological disorder for it.
Hmm.
And that would be an actual autopsy, not the psychological autopsy.
Right, if his brain is still intact. Right.
Also, there was a briefing today done by both the Republicans and the Democrats saying that Russia did try and hack our elections. Don't know how successful they were. However, they have been targeting NATO soldiers' smartphones by hacking them, and in fact, they hacked the lieutenant colonel who's the commander of the troops in Poland. He got a message that his phone had been hacked, and it had a map, and it showed Russia as the hacker. So that's kind of interesting.
Wow. You know, the one thing they did say is that they're sure they'll try it again, and yet we have a government. I mean, I don't think Donald Trump has ever admitted that that they've done this, has he?
No, he has not talked about that at all. Another example of not admitting it. Now, also, there's no tax bill yet. We've not actually seen the final tax bill, but the LA Times has an article saying that they are now thinking to get some Republicans on board that they will allow people to deduct their state and local taxes on their tax reform. That was not apparently in the 10 pages that Trump outlined
right.
of what he wanted in the bill. However, again, I just want to be sure you know that we do not yet have a bill. However, the Democratic National Committee put out something today, and again, we don't have a bill, so we don't really know what is in the bill yet.
Yeah, it's amazing that they talk about it as if it's done and before there's even a bill written. What have they been doing?
Beats me what they've been doing. I have no idea. Okay, also, finally, this is Mental Health Week. It started 2 days ago, October 2nd to 8th, and they found that students who participated in extracurricular activities had less addiction, and also that choir singing makes people less depressed and more mindful.
Huh, okay. Well, I guess we should all start singing. Do you have to be in a choir, or does the shower work?
I think you have to be in a choir.
Oh, well. All right. Well, that's good to know. All right.
Okay.
Ellen Ratner of the Talk Media News Service, talkmedianews.com. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Coming up, Cliff Schechter, an old friend of the show, is back. Lots to talk about, of course, mostly centering around guns. Sadly, that's, top of mind these days. So we'll get to Cliff in just a moment. Stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
You know what's wrong with American politics? It's that there just aren't enough ways for giant corporations and mega-rich political donors to funnel their big bucks into our elections and buy our government. At least that's what Donald Trump, the Republican Party, and a devious group of right-wing political pastors are saying. And, of course, they've got a diabolical fix for this, quote, problem. Their scheme is to turn tax-exempt, far-right churches into gushing sewers of political money, secretly channeling unlimited amounts of cash from corporations and right-wing extremists through the churches into the campaigns of politicians who'll do their bidding. They don't admit this, of course, instead wrapping their scheme in the pious rhetoric of religious freedom. Their point of attack is the Johnson Amendment, a 1954 law passed by LBJ that prohibits tax-exempt charities, including churches, from endorsing candidates, funding campaigns, and directly engaging in politics. The Alliance Defending Freedom, an extremist Christian operation pushing repeal of Johnson's amendment, asserts that banning churches from overt political campaigning lets the IRS, quote, tell pastors what they can and cannot preach. Clever, but totally dishonest. First, the issue is not whether the government can tell church groups what to say. It can't. But whether taxpayers should subsidize a church group's electioneering views and activities. Second, and most diabolical, repealing the Johnson ban would turn these churches into holy temples of dark money. Special interest funders would rush to these political, quote, charities, not only because the churches would be super-secret super PACs, but churches are tax-exempt, meaning the donors would also be blessed with a tax deduction for their corrupting campaign contributions. This is Jim Hightower saying taxpayers would be underwriting the corruption of American politics. How ungodly is that?
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Schechter is an author, a pundit, a PR strategist, and now a podcaster, too. And for years, he's been speaking out about our nation's awful history with guns. It seems we talk after virtually every mass shooting. Not that I have any problem talking with Cliff Schechter. It's just we always seem to talk on these awful occasions. In the wake of Las Vegas, Cliff has a new piece up at the Daily Beast, another bloody morning with more moments of silence to come. Here we go again, Cliff. And this one is the worst ever. Not that they're not all horrible.
Yeah. This isn't unique. my conversations with you, Nicole. First of all, thank you for having me on. It's become almost this sad ritual that I have to participate in because I feel like I've talked about this issue so much for so many years. I've written about it that when these things happen, as they happen all too often, and at this point. It's only when it's something this huge that it even gets this kind of coverage. You know, there was a shooting the week before at a school in Washington State where only, I think, one or two people were shot. So nobody's heard of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's not big enough.
That's where we are now.
Right. If there's a shooting when, you know, if only one or two people die and a number are hurt, we don't even hear about it. That's not enough to make the news.
That's right. In a school. A school that people send their kids to in the United States, you know, that's where we are now. That is no longer a story. So, after these ridiculous, after the Pulse shooting in Orlando, I mean, obviously Newtown goes without saying, but others since then, it's just, we have a group of people there's a few Democrats in there too, certainly, but largely about 90% of the people, probably more like 98% of the representatives of the Republican Party in elected office who refuse to do a thing. It just doesn't seem to matter how many people die and how much blood is on their hands. They will not move. They will not do anything on this. Many of them have been gerrymandered into districts where they fear a challenge more from the right than from the left, or in such rural states that they think that, just being incredibly ridiculously pro-gun is fine. And it's hard to know what to say anymore, except for we can't let them get away with this. And we need to keep fighting.
The thing that I'm hearing differently this time, as opposed to other times, is, it's mostly Republicans saying there's really nothing we can do about it. We can't prevent these kinds of shootings. I don't recall them ever being so blatant in their disregard. It's not really disregard in their definitiveness that this is the new normal.
Right. Well, that's just flat out stupid and it's a lie. And that's the thing is I think they hope that people will just become resigned to this is the way it's got to be and not do anything. The evidence that this is the way it is, this is not the way it has to be comes from, Canada, Japan, Denmark, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, France, South Korea, Brazil. I mean, you know, I can go on and on in all parts
Australia.
Of the world.
Yep.
South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, really any other high income country similar to us where, you know, where there is not civil strife of some sort in the streets and is a similar economic situation, similar democratic form of government, comparing apples to apples, you'll find nobody that even comes close to us. I mean, on the world list, we literally are just below Burundi in terms of this kind of thing. We're a place where there is open conflict. It's ludicrous. It's not what America ever was about. A group of right-wing nuts and frankly, blood merchants hijacked the NRA and hijacked the Republican Party. Same people you see when you see Donald Trump up at the top of the party that got him there. And they work together. The oligarchs, you know, it's like the Koch brothers and climate denial. It's the same thing here. You have the oligarchs funding it, who are the people that want to make money off of blood and death and their guns, the arms dealers, the NRA that takes a cut of that money, and then all the rubes who they've convinced to make us a part of their identity, you know. And if we had a country that was functioning properly, where the majority won, none of this would really be a problem. But we're in a country where somebody loses by 3 million votes and becomes president and is the second president elected in 16 years with a minority of the vote. Mm-hmm. We're in a country where Montana and South Dakota and states that have 500, 600, 700,000 people have as many U.S. senators as California and New York, where they've gerrymandered these districts. And so they have managed to create a situation where they can be a minority. They can be a 20, 25% minority, 30%, and they can still block everything we do. I forgot to mention the filibuster in the Senate, of course, because after Newtown, people forget we had 56 votes lined up, which in a normal working democracy should be enough. That is a majority of 100. But of course, the filibuster made it so that we couldn't pass common sense legislation. So it's our democracy that's not working, and we're all suffering because of it.
We are. Cliff Schechter is with us. You know, there was a piece of legislation that was supposed to be voted on this week because, you know, gun sales are down now that Trump is the president and there's no longer the boogeyman of, you know, big, bad, black Obama coming to take away your guns looming. So people aren't being scared into stocking up as this shooter obviously did. The shooter in Vegas, whose name I won't say either.
Yeah.
I know you don't print it in your Daily Beast piece.
No.
I don't do that either. So I guess the NRA needed to boost sales, so they sponsored new legislation to legalize silencers and armor-piercing bullets. I guess it's good news that that bill was pulled. Do you think that it'll be, I mean, indefinitely for now, do you think it'll ever see the light of day?
I think they'll try to bring it back at some point. I mean, I think it's up to all of us to make sure they don't, and to make sure that Democrats, progressives take back Congress in 2018. There is, you know, we've seen what's happened in a lot of these special elections for state legislators where, you know, we're winning. We had one down in your neck of the woods in Florida where Annette Tadeo won in a district that was overwhelmingly Republican or had been Republican, right? So we need to do that. And, you know, as a lot of prognosticators are saying, the Democrats, if the elections were held today, we'd win back the House. Well, this is another reason, in addition to climate science, in addition to they're trying to steal all of our health care and all the other things that they have done, that we need to take this back and stop them. Because, of course, like automatrons, they'll disappear for a little bit. They'll duck, you know, behind the bushes, a la Sean Spicer at his best moment. And then they'll come out and they'll try to get some of this passed again. And again, just so people know what this is. This is a pill. I mean, we outlawed silencers in the wake of all the carnage during Prohibition, in the first gun control, major gun control legislation in this country passed in 1934, because police officers were being killed and all sorts of people were getting caught in the crossfire. And what the NRA decided was to make an argument that, you know, apparently there's not enough, you know, you don't have enough of an advantage if you can sit on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay and start firing on innocent people. You should be able to make that a quiet process, too,
right?
So fewer of them can hear it and you can kill even more people. And again, as you said, it's all about their gun sales being down because they can't scare people with the black president coming door to door. And they've got, you know, 300 million or some ridiculous number of guns out there. So what if we can sell accessories for all of those guns and get all the lunatics to go out and buy, you know, to think they need silencers? That's what it's all about.
It's frightening. And then included in this legislation with the silencers were armor-piercing bullets.
Like, what do you need that for? They claimed only to be used in sporting purposes. Sporting. What kind of armor does a deer wear, or a bunny? Or, I mean, I'm not sure what the hell they're talking about. I'm pretty sure they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they don't care. So, yeah, that was in there, too. And then there's the third part of it, concealed carry reciprocity, which they've been working on now for a decade. And that means that anywhere there's concealed carry, you have to – there are states where you get a concealed carry permit. It's actually a more onerous process, California, New York, Massachusetts, places like that, where you may not get one. And then there's places like Alabama where you can go to a local sheriff and there's no records. There's, you know, so, I mean, it's all different. And this law would say that if you got your permit in Alabama, it would have to be recognized in California and New York. So it's making us – it's a big race to the bottom, the lowest common denominator. So hopefully now that's blocked too. I fought against that legislation. It was the first thing I ever did when I did some work for Everytown for Gun Safety back in 2009. We stopped that bill on the floor of the Senate, and that was the first time the NRA had lost on the floor of the Senate in 5 years at that time. So this thing's been around for a while.
So that
and
was
they just, you know, so that,
I'm sorry, that was included with the armor-piercing bullets and the silencers?
Well, I think that is a second or either an amendment or a second piece of legislation. Uh-huh. But yeah, they've been pushing that one too. That was also supposed to be part of, you know, a package of quote unquote gun reform bills. We've stopped them. And there are positive stories. You know, there are numerous states. Just last week in Rhode Island, they passed a bill to take guns out of the hands of stalkers and, you know, domestic abusers, who are obviously a group that often we find there's a history of that, as we have with the person in Las Vegas. When it comes to this, we've done a lot in the states. We've blocked worse things. It's not all negative, but certainly, look, you know, we're up against the same thing we're up against when we're fighting Trump and the Republican Party and on other issues. It's generational. It's old, you know, it's also demographic. It's old, white, rural guys, you know, mostly guys. Of course, there's some women, too, who have a disproportionate amount of power in this country that they really shouldn't have based on their numbers. And they've held the rest of us hostage, quite literally, to that. I mean, so in the future, the NRA, you know, they're going to lose. The gun sales are going to go down long term. You know, the 1970s, one in two houses in this country had guns in it. We're now down to about 30% or so. I mean, it's on the way down. Hunting is not nearly as popular among people who get weird things like statistics and science. They know you make yourself much more dangerous, especially if you have kids in your house, having guns in your house. So, you know, we're on the right side of history. It's just how many lives have to be lost before we get there. And certainly didn't help that they were able to put Gorsuch on the court so he can try to extend their ridiculous, ahistorical interpretation of the Second Amendment, which they invented, you know, the Scalia court did in 2008, saying it was an individual right, which no court had held in this country for, you know, 200 years.
That was the Heller case, right?
Yeah, because well-regulated militia, when it's written, actually means well-regulated militia.
Right. Talking about muskets, not AK-47s.
Right, and they weren't even talking about those as an individual right. They're talking about those as a right as of a militia to protect from threats, you know, from internal rebellion and threats from outside, because we had no standing army. And they've taken something that former conservative justice, Chief Justice of the Court, Warren Burger, you know, during the Nixon years or whatever, said was an absolute hoax. And they've moved the goalposts so far that they've, you know, the Federalist Society and these right-wing groups, they've tried to invent something that never existed before. You know, I mean, you've probably seen old movies or whatever. You know, you get to the edge of town in Tombstone, and what did they do? They made you check your gun.
Right.
That was gun control. And you had to go into that town without a gun on you, right? Which would be like considered tyranny today. And they try to pretend that never existed. That did exist. Concealed carry was banned in states across the country, ones you wouldn't think of, like Kentucky and Wyoming. You know, I mean, they've invented a history that never existed. And they've done it with a lot of money and a cynical attitude, and they've done it over the last 30 to 40 years. And again, they're on the way out because their largest base of support comes from your average Fox News viewer who is like, you know, 70 and falling asleep on his, you know, with a beer on his beer belly. But we still have to deal with their outsized influence until we get to the point where, you know, where our majority is actually being represented, I guess I would say.
I guess. But you also have, you know, Donald Trump Jr., this video surfaced of a promotional video where he's promoting the use of silencers. I've got a little audio here to play. And it's quite stunning when you hear where he goes with this. Here, let me it's about 30 seconds long. Oh, that sound.
That thing's awesome.
It's about safety. It's about hearing protection. It's a health issue, frankly.
A health issue.
You know, getting little, you know, little kids into the game, it's, you know, greatly reduces recoil. I mean, it's a great instrument. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing bad about it at all. It makes total sense. It's where we should be going.
It's getting little kids into the game. There's nothing bad about it.
Right. Remember that 9-year-old in Arizona who almost fell over, I guess, and lost control of her assault weapon and shot the instructor and killed him?
Yes.
You know, because that made a lot of sense. We want to get little kids into the game. That's smart. Silencers, you know, it's good for his health. First of all, I guess the NRA has never heard of these weird things called earplugs.
Right.
they work quite well. you don't need a silencer. And frankly, I worry more about my health. If you would choose to shoot a gun, as I have, because I was on a riflery team for a number of years when I was younger, I went to camp. Guess what? We put on our ear, you know, these big sort of headphones back at the time to protect our ears, and our ears were fine. All right. This isn't about that. I'm sure like everything else, it's a grift, as it always is with the Trump family. I'm sure they're paying Donnie Jr. something under the table. You know, I mean, any way that family can make money, doesn't matter. Lie, steal, cheat, you know, lie, steal, cheat, kill.
Yes.
They seemingly won't care how that money comes to them. So, you know, I'm sure he's being paid off by them in some way.
You know, there's also the issue of how normalized these guns have become. There was a question of how the shooter got 20 some odd guns up to his 32nd floor hotel room. And the thing is, even if they were in gun cases, because they could have been broken down and put in suitcases and carried up, you know, one at a time over the 4 or 5 days he was in the hotel before the shooting, even if they were out in the open, they have gun shows every weekend or virtually all the time in Vegas. And there's nothing, especially in the state of Nevada, there's nothing illegal about it. You can buy as many guns as you want. The restrictions are among the most lax in the country. There's nothing to stop something from this happening again anytime, is there?
You know, it's a number of the things we talk about all going on at the same time here. You know, they have a machine gun shoot. They actually advertise in the airport in Vegas. I've never seen that anywhere. Like right when you come in, they advertise it, of course, with buxom blondes and everything. And, you know, you know who they're appealing to. It's basically like a Fox News segment on the wall, you know, and they're pushing that kind of gun culture, that irresponsibility. Just go fire a machine gun. Doesn't matter if you have any practice doing this, know anything about it. You know, we allow these little kits that can take an assault weapon and turn it into which is a semi-automatic and make it automatic. So it's illegal, you know, kind of like it's illegal for felons to buy guns at gun shows, but they made sure there's no background checks there. So it's like a tree falling in the forest. Who knows? So it's illegal for you to do this, but people sell them and people buy them, and we don't do anything to enforce that or try to stop it. And, you know, Charles Blow made a really interesting point too on Twitter, which was, you know, he tried to imagine, so it brings whiteness into this too. He tried to imagine as an African-American, if he carried like 12 suitcases in and out. I mean, they've got security all over those hotels. They've got cameras watching everything. You think they might've stopped him? I have a feeling there'd be a much higher chance that if they'd seen Charles Blow doing it or another African-American walk in and out with these huge cases, they maybe would have asked questions. But, you know, white guy, gun shows there.
Right.
Who cares?
And maybe so. But even if they did, they'll say, OK, you got guns. There's nothing illegal about that. And therein lies the problem.
Well, sure. You're absolutely right. I mean, maybe they would have asked some questions. They saw a guy taking that many guns up to his room. But as you just said, you know, there aren't limits on what you can buy there. So he could just be like, I'm a hobbyist.
Right.
You can get away with it.
I'm going to the gun show this weekend.
They've done everything they can to undo those laws too. Before He formerly, he was convicted and he got off on a technicality with Bob McDonnell, the former governor of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
When he came into office, they had a one gun a month rule in Virginia. I know, very onerous. You can only buy one gun a month. How can you get through life that way? And of course, one of the first things he went about doing was with the legislature dismantling that. And clearly that law was there for a reason. Because anybody who wants to buy more than one gun a month is maybe somebody you want to be suspicious of, who's buying them and reselling them to God knows who, or buying them because they're amassing an arsenal for some reason. But, you know, that, again, common sense never seems to prevail with this stuff, because you have one party that is, you know, that again, I'll always say there are some Democrats too, but overall, you have one party literally that you have to be stupid on this issue. To be a member of that party, like the other issues, you have to believe that more birth control leads to more abortion because right. they say so, and you have to believe that evolution is still questionable, and you have to believe that, you know, that climate science is a hoax, and I mean all the other that tax cuts pay for themselves, and
right.
all the other ridiculously stupid things that they sell. This is among those.
It is insane. So, Cliff Schechter, you mentioned, I mean, it is mostly the Republicans, although there are some Democrats who. Fall into that category as well. However, in the wake of yep. the shooting, you get, for instance, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who introduced new background check legislation. The problem is, you know, Republicans control both houses of Congress and the White House, so there's not much they can do. You had Dianne Feinstein, who authored a bill, I'm reading here, that would ban the bump stocks that the shooter used to convert his semi-automatic weapon into a fully automatic gun.
Right.
Those bump stocks, I thought, were illegal anyway. Are they not?
They are illegal, I believe, for felons and for the mentally ill. But no, people can actually go and buy them in many. They're illegal in some states. I'm pretty sure there is no federal. This is one of the ones where you got me. But I'm almost sure there's no federal law against them. Obviously, if she introduced that, then you know, I think it's by state.
Right.
Some states have laws against them.
And you can,
and again, it's illegal to use them. But
right.
You can buy them.
that's the.
You know, you can't. So I mean, it's the stupidest thing. I mean, and again, you know, that would be the biggest of no-brainers after this thing happened. But that, much like a silencer, is an accessory. So if you're people in the business of selling guns and you're giving a cut of whatever you make to the NRA. Which these guys now do, then you're going to lose profits. And if you're amoral enough that you sit around a conference room table, you know, just figuring out how can we make the most money possible, you know, forget the consequences, we don't care. Then what they do, if you're that much of a ghoul, then it makes sense because
right.
they don't care. They just want to make money off the bummers. So, you know, let's keep selling them.
It's unbelievable. And apparently, you know, they're readily available on the internet, along with instructions on how to do these conversions. And now I'm reading that the sales of them are up since the shooting on Sunday night, which.
Of course.
Of course. Right. That's all you can say.
That's the other thing that's sickening about every one of these things is right after them, gun sales spike to the point where I'm almost suspicious that in NRA headquarters, it's not just they don't care. They're actually gleeful. When these things
oh, yeah.
happen, because I'm sure you know, they make money off them. Gun stocks go up and, you know.
And as is always the case, right. the NRA has been silent since the shooting. They go dark after an event like this happens.
Right. Which, I mean, you know, that doesn't sort of tell you everything you need to know, which is they know there's absolutely nothing they can say right now.
Right.
Because they know that the reaction to their product, people are sickened right now. And so it's not that they believe that they can defend it. It's really indefensible except for their small bunch of crazy supporters. It's really more that they're waiting for the media to move on to other things and people to forget.
Right.
That's really what it's about.
And of course, the White House put out talking points that lead off with, you know, now is not the time to talk about policy or politics. No, now is exactly
right.
the time. And that's one of the reasons why I call on you so often after an event like this happens, because it's imperative that we talk about it.
You noticed, Nicole, that after 9/11, we waited like weeks to talk about it, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, we didn't want to politicize that.
Never.
So why would we try to figure out how guys got on planes with box cutters right after they got on planes with box cutters and murdered 3,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
We'd want to wait weeks, kind of like when somebody figures out a way to murder 60 people who were standing across the street from a 32nd floor window. Why would we want to try to figure out how that was able to happen right then? We should talk about that maybe in a month or two.
Right.
They're just so full of it. They're so full of it.
They really are.
They're evil.
Well, evil. That's the one thing Donald Trump said, but he was talking about the shooter that I agreed with. That was evil. When he came out and gave his statement, it was a lot about God. I thought I was sitting in a church. I guess he forgets that we're not a Christian nation solely, that there are people of all different religions and belief systems.
He's not a Christian person. He's just getting told to fake it.
Of course.
Supporters,
right.
So
but he mentioned, he said not one word about a gun. Which I found very telling. So
no, of course not. Yeah. I mean, their strategy is always the same thing, which is just to sort of hang in there and wait till it goes away, whatever the crisis is, as it's constant with them. But they own him, no pun intended, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, they bought Donald Trump with $30 million because they knew that if any Democrat was elected, there would have been common sense policies enacted. So, I mean, they own Trump. So we can't expect to get anything out of him except for things maybe getting worse, which is essentially the story of Donald Trump's presidency, isn't it?
Yes, it
is.
In
certain states, I'm hoping there are states controlled by Democrats, and there even are states who look after Newtown. Credit has to be given sometimes. There were Republicans in New York State, in Maryland, in Colorado, who joined with Democrats to vote for some of the very smart gun control legislation those states have supported. And it's happened since then. States like Minnesota and in Rhode Island and Delaware. And, you know, so, you know, it's not to say that there aren't some great victories in the states and there aren't some people, even Republicans, who realize that they should do something about this. But overall, it's a massive failure of the entire Republican Party. It's a failure of our democracy. You know, it's how you can sit here in front of the world. Every other country has figured this thing out and we just keep letting it happen. You know,
well, and there's a way.
And to me, frankly,
yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say there's a way we can change it, and that is, you know, we're into October now, so we're 13 months away. I can't believe it. 13 months away from the election day of 2018. You know, but our side has got to come out and vote.
That's right. Well, and look, even in a couple states, I mean, Virginia, we've got a gubernatorial election
in
a month.
We do.
You know, there's Ralph Northam, who is terrific as a supporter of common sense gun safety measures. And then there's Ed Gillespie, the Uber lobbyist bought off. I don't even think he knows who's exactly his bottom off. He's been bought off by so many people, including the NRA. You know, that will make a difference, what you do there, and also who you vote lower down on the ticket there. There are local elections in states and cities around the country coming up in November, and who you vote for will make a difference. So I would say to everybody, where you live, look at what's going on. Look at your local elections. Find out what your candidates stand for. And I don't really even care. You know, even if they're running for mayor or something, where maybe they don't have as much power. If they're on the wrong side of this issue and you want this to stop, don't support them.
Absolutely.
Support their opponents. Come out and knock on doors for their opponents.
Cliff Schechter.
Know? Because mayors eventually. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is okay. I want to make sure we talk about your newest project before we have to go. You've ventured into the world of podcasting, yes?
I did. Obviously, I'm late to the project. Smart people like you got there a lot earlier. But yeah, I joined up with another long time, I think I'd say, involved guy in the world of political activism, whatever, John Arabosis, done a lot of work on gay rights issues and other issues, and we decided let's give this thing a try. And so we launched, and we've been on iTunes now for just about a month, which has been great. And you can, I would ask anybody listening who likes hopefully what we do to go and you can go to www.unprecedentedpodcast.com. We took Donald Trump's favorite term, unprecedented, because we'd like to unprecedent him, and we want to make fun of him, frankly, for spelling it wrong. And you can go there, and if you would listen, rate, review, all that stuff. We've kind of jumped in and out of being a top 100 podcast in the news and politics section there, and that means they promote us. So, you know, reviews help, listening helps. And then we also have a pay version. We're going to do some interviews and some other really kind of cool stuff over at Patreon. And that is www.patreon.com/unprecedentedpodcast. And so obviously, if people support us, we would be grateful and appreciate it, because then we can do more stuff and try to hold more people accountable.
I will make sure I put up links to that on the blog, where I put to each day's podcast at NicoleSandler.com. So people can, if they weren't able to write it down quickly enough, I'll have it there so they can find it.
Sure. It's this quick talking New Yorkers on who can't ever say anything slowly. That's the problem.
So you
can't imagine what it's like living in the Midwest. I'm like an alien species out here.
All right. Well, you're in Ohio. I guess Ohio is the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in a city and everything, but New York is still its own beast, as you know.
Oh, yes, I do. New York, where they do have good, you know, gun control laws. One of the things that Republicans will say is, you know, one of the talking points that leaked out the other day was about how many gun deaths there were in Chicago in the last month. It would be funny if it weren't so sad, that you can go down the line. I think Colbert had a segment last night where he had a string of them all repeating the same talking points right off this leaked talking points memo, as it were.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, you know, and I do this every time, which is, and I had a tweet I wrote about gun control, and, you know, it hasn't worked anywhere except for, you know, and I listed a lot of places like I did earlier here, and it's gone as viral, much more viral than anything I've ever tweeted, over like 100,000 likes at this point, something like 50,000 retweets. I've never come anything close to that, you know, and so I said in there afterwards, I always said, you know, and I know when something goes, is this popular, all the trolls show up, which they have, and I was like, you know, basically, I know what they're going to say to me. I predicted it. I was like, you know, I know what they're coming with, and let's sit down and take each of them apart. I mean, of course, you know, we have these weird things, you know, we have the borders in this country, but it's weird how when land is connected, you can go across the border and carry a gun with you. So, for example, in Mike Pence's Indiana, which mm-hmm. I'll still give him credit for, there's non-existent gun laws, and it borders Chicago. So, of course, when they've traced where these guns have come from, guess where the biggest place that they're coming from outside of Illinois? They're coming from Indiana.
Indiana. Go figure.
What a shock, you know? And then you start looking and you see other infamous states. And sadly, we're one of them, because Ohio's gun laws are terrible. And so they're getting in from there. And, you know, border, you know, states that either border or are not very far away, this is big business for these guys. They know they can go in there and they can charge a lot more money, because in states that do have universal background checks, they can get people, or they can just stand right over the border, which they often do. And then, you know, they can get away with selling guns at a huge premium. So yeah. People think that those guns in Chicago are coming from Chicago. No, they're not.
No, you know, and that's Hawaii, the thing. And right, from New York, they're not there. They come from neighboring states. That's the thing. So unless we have some federal laws to correct this, we're going to continue having these problems.
That's right. That's what it is. So they'll always use cases like Washington, D.C. and mm-hmm. and Chicago and Detroit. And you can always point out, when people do any analysis of this, that these guns are all coming from neighboring states that have terrible gun laws, or within their own state outside of the city where there's terrible gun laws.
That's right.
I mean, that's what you're dealing with.
Well, Cliff, in addition to posting the URLs for your podcast, I'll also put up the link to your article at the Daily Beast. It sucks that you have to write this, but I appreciate the fact that you do.
Well, thank you.
On the case.
Like, I appreciate what you do. It'd be nice if they put all of us out of business, but somebody, you know, we have to figure out some way to.
No, they're trying to do that. They're trying to do that with net neutrality. So. We don't want them to put us out of business.
Right.
We just want this as a topic to be taken away.
There you go.
Plenty of other things to talk
about. I'd also like to not have to worry about doing, you know, segments on healthcare and climate change and stuff, too.
Would be very nice. Well,
yeah.
All right. Let's work on that.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Nicole. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cliff Schechter. It's always great to talk with you, even under these circumstances. Thanks so much.
You too. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, Cliff Schechter. It's always good to hear from Cliff, even, as I said, under these circumstances. You know, so Cliff gave you all the information about his podcast with Patreon. It's a paid thing, although there's a free version that you can review on iTunes. You can do the same thing for my show. Review us on iTunes. It always helps. And but there is no mandatory paid version. It's all voluntary. I do not put the show behind a paywall because I know a lot of people really can't afford it, and I don't want to lock anyone out. But we do run off of your donations. We are 100% listener supported. So if you can spare a few extra dollars as a one-time thing or as a monthly subscription, that's, you know, that's what pays my salary. So go to NicoleSandler.com/donate. Tomorrow, Howie Klein returns. We'll get back to politics and how we take back the House and maybe even the Senate in 2018. And boy, do we need it. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Nicole Sandler for NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.